Welcome to a new edition of the Neon Jazz Interview Series with Indiana-based jazz guitarist and composer Brent Laidler. We had a spirited talk about his new 2022 CD, Wouldn't Be Here Without You. It's an ode to evolution, and he is quite a talented cat. From renowned instrument repairman to composing and arranging for films, commercials, and video games, to being a veteran jazz clinician, he's always in the music. It wasn't always going to be the guitar. About an early childhood with TMJ led him away from his trumpet playing, and he's got a great story. Enjoy.
Thank you for taking a minute out to talk with me here at Neon Jazz. I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
So let's start off first and foremost, before we get into kind of the artistic construction of Wouldn't Be Here Without You, I want to know, it's coming out right now, you know, hopefully on the tail end of this pandemic that's been going on for 2 years now, with hope ahead. What does it mean for this to come out right now?
You know, it means a lot, because our first recording session on the project actually happened in November of 2019. The studio that we were using, after it closed during the pandemic, the owner and engineer, who's a good personal friend and just a genius, I can't say enough wonderful things about his talent, he actually left the country. He got a PPP loan, he paid all of his employees for the rest of the year, and then he went to visit his wife's parents in New Zealand. And so they were gone for quite some time. And so, you know, during the course of the pandemic, the whole trajectory of that project changed. So it had started out as just being a CD, you know, just for fun. And then after, I lost my father, who had been in cancer hospice for a year. And it's about a four-hour one-way drive to go visit him, and I had done that enough while he was in hospice that I mentally had a chance to prepare, you know, and if you can pre-grieve, you know, I had gone through the stages and was kind of at the acceptance when my brother called and told me that he was gone. But the very, very next day, locally, my mentor and second father down here in Lafayette passed away at the age of 90 in a care facility. And that was just like, man, it just bang, bang. I had already done sort of a tribute number to him in the past, back when did that CD come out? It was like 2011 or something. I recorded a guitar tenor duet with Randy Salomon that was called One for Tony, because his name was Tony Zamora. But instead of doing something specific for him with this project, I decided I'm just going to go back as far as I can and all of the instances in my musical journey, just give a nod and a wink and a thank you and a celebration to the journey and evolution that I've been on. And part of the artwork, which was on the CD that the guy who did the art loved so much, was that evolution image, you know, that starts with the chimpanzee and then goes through the evolution. And I had him add a guitar to the guy who was, you know, the most modern man, just to represent the evolution of my musical journey. And so the whole project changed. I mean, I rewrote songs that we hadn't recorded yet and wrote some brand new material, with this new concept in mind. And I think the final product really, really stands well. You know, we're happy with it.
So what are you hoping ultimately that the listener gets from this project?
It's just kind of a break. As a programmer, I have learned that a lot of people, you want to be really profound with things. And it's like, that's cool. But, you know, for me, and it's even if you go look at my Facebook page, I just tell jokes. You know, I want to make somebody's day a little brighter, a little more cheerful. Maybe give them a minute to forget some of the problems that they're having. The power of music is not only to move somebody deeply and emotionally, but also the power to heal and cheer, bring joy. And so that's kind of my take on it.
How did this jazz journey begin for you? What was your childhood like? What musicians really moved you? How did the teeth of jazz get in you, so to speak?
the theme song from the cartoons, The Jetsons and Johnny Quest.
Wow. I love it, man. I get it. Now you're making me realize that's probably where it happened for me, too.
Because, I mean, it's like, what 10-year-old knows who Hoyt Curtin is? you know, or the Quincy Jones Orchestra actually did the Jetsons recording, or Neil Hefti, for that example. I mean, at the time, I had no idea that Neil Hefti had this huge catalog of jazz tunes and big band arrangements and all the work he did with Frank Sinatra and stuff. I knew he wrote the theme to Batman, The Odd Couple, you know, and I was so impressed by these people. You don't know their names, but everybody knows their music. So from television and cartoons, even the little incidental music, you can hear a three-second blurb of something, and you remember, oh, that's a scene change music from Gilligan's Island or Hogan's Heroes or Mission Impossible or Star Trek, you know, with Alexander Courage. So I was a music nerd from the very beginning, and it was the power of the music that people were writing for television and for films that I thought was just like, everybody thinks of Henry Mancini as being kind of a Moon River and sort of a nerd, but then you get into things like Peter Gunn, which, like, that doesn't sound anything like Henry Mancini, but man, you know, it's a recognizable thing. So people know the music even if they don't know the composer.
So what was the first live jazz show you ever saw that really made you think, wow, this is it?
Maynard Ferguson. I think I want to credit Maynard Ferguson with that. I still love the fact that he played all those high schools and traveled the country with his band. By the time I got out of high school, I'd already seen Maynard like four times. Mm-hmm. By the time I got out of college, I'd also seen Buddy Rich like five times. So it was the big band. When I went to college, actually, one of the reasons that I specifically picked out Western Michigan University was because of Bobby Davidson and the big band program there. I had a chance to see them. They came to my high school and played, and I was like, holy cow, these guys are killing it. So when I was offered an opportunity and was accepted in the School of Music there, I was like, yeah, man, I'm all about this. Let's go see Bobby and sign up.
Why do you love jazz?
Well, I love all kinds of music. I get more satisfaction composing jazz than I do other styles of music. I had a blues band for almost a decade, and we got a CD out that actually did pretty good for not having official campaigns going, and I wrote all of the music for that as well, except for two covers that we did. But it's more satisfying having the freedom of jazz. And I think most importantly, at the right time in my life, I came into contact with people who were extraordinarily talented at playing it. My day job, I repair musical instruments, specifically woodwinds and brass and concert marching percussion. I've got a small shop. I'm independent now after the retailer I worked for went out of business in 2003. Almost 20 years ago, and I've got a professional and collegiate faculty clientele that spans a good little footprint in the Midwest, and we're real proud of that. And having access to them, especially the jazz musicians, is just more of a blessing than I can tell you. So that's amazing. So when I sit down to write music, if I write a flugelhorn ballad that I know Mark Buscelli is going to play, or I sit down and I write a hip gospel number that I know Ned Boyd is going to play, and then we get into the studio and it all happens, it just turns into magic.
How do those two worlds work for you? You're an educator, you repair instruments, you play an instrument. How do all those ends come together to make you a complete organism in music?
You know, I don't know that anybody necessarily considers themselves complete. I'm always trying to learn. I'm always trying to improve. I'm always trying to get better. Fundamentally, I can learn something from anybody, you know, because there are people that you would even consider to be, well, not as far up the food chain as the collegiate faculty people, but you know, they got something that comes from the heart, or you know, a groove that just kills, or a drum beat that you know, somebody can turn you on to an artist or a style of music, you know, that you hadn't really necessarily been familiar with. And so it's just, you know, it's an evolutionary process. It's all about, I don't feel incomplete, but it's all about becoming better, advanced, you know, at what you do. It's just another step in the journey.
So if you could get into a time machine, we get off the phone, Jazz DeLorean pulls up, you punch in the digits, where are you going to go? Who are you going to see?
My kids will tell you the answer to this. I'm going to go see Dizzy Gillespie at the 1957 Newport Jazz Festival.
Good on you. I love it.
I have a real Dizzy for President campaign button.
Yeah,
from 1963.
I do too.
One of my kids bought that for me from a shop in Los Angeles. I have it framed and it's on the wall of my shop. I also have the copy of the Downbeat magazine that had the article in it about Dizzy running for president.
There was an artist about two, three years ago that had those buttons as a part of their promo pack, and I got it. I was like, oh my God. So I asked.
You mean they were not copies?
They were real copies.
Buttons? Oh,
no,
okay.
No, they were copies. Yeah. So, but anyway, I got a whole bunch of them, and everyone around me got them, and we were wearing them. I still have them all over the place. So it's awesome.
But trumpet was my first instrument. You know, I had a thing in middle and high school where to help out the band, I played tuba/sousaphone, also as a scholarship instrument to be able to go to music camp every year because my dad was a clergy and we were not very rich. And, you know, if you're playing tuba at Blue Lake Fine Arts Camp or the one opportunity I had to do Interlochen, having a scholarship and going for half price is, you know, that's the way to go. But by the time I got to college, I was 100% focused on trumpet. Then in my 30s, I got TMJ syndrome, and then I could no longer play trumpet. It was very painful, but I'm really excited to see Dave Monette's book, which is coming out, because he put some illustrations up on Facebook and a blurb a couple of months ago about people, trumpet players in particular, whose careers were ended by being misdiagnosed with TMJ syndrome, it was actually something else. So I'm really interested to get his book when that comes out soon and see if you know, at this point I wouldn't go back because I don't have the time to keep trumpet chops in shape. You know, it was just really interesting because that's kind of near and dear to my heart because it was a TMJ diagnosis that ultimately said, you need to set down the trumpet and pick up something else.
You know, the one thing, speaking of challenges, you know, with the COVID world that we've gone through and we've largely been away from live music, you know, you got a new album out to promote. And I'm curious, what do you hope we all realize about the power of live music when we return in earnest? I mean, we've been away from it for a few years now. What do you hope we get from this time away?
Oh, goodness gracious. That's a question that is many faceted. I, unfortunately, live in a community where the venues were the ones that were hardest hit by the pandemic. And so there are not as many places to play, even though there are as many or even more musicians of all genres who are kind of competing for those places. I'm also on the board of a jazz club here locally that lost a venue that went out of business during the pandemic, and we're still trying to find a new home. They say that the opposite of love is not really hate. It's the opposite of love is apathy. What I want to try and do is make people aware of live music, you know, rather than during the course of the pandemic, people just kind of forgot about it, and they don't think about it or they don't care about it. We need to have the community at large, especially the people that run the venues, be aware that music adds so much to their events and their ambience, you know, that we need to have their support in order to keep live music going, and jazz in particular. Anybody that's playing jazz these days is also looking for a grant, you know. So
yeah, for sure. So everyone has a perception or an idea of who they think you are, your family, your friends, your fans, but ultimately you live your life. You have a perception of yourself. Who do you think you are?
Well, what I like to be is I like to be a person that connects dots and creates win-win situations. You know, I do that in my business. I had so much fun in music in school. Music as a career has been really good to me. It's been truly a blessing. You know, every one of these totally amazing people that I get an opportunity to play with these days started in sixth grade as a beginner, and you never know who the next Wynton Marsalis is going to be. So in the course of my day job, being able to help these kids at the beginners in the middle school and the high school level and help with their development and go out and do jazz clinics or teach improvisation or things like that, get them fired up and get the new next generation going, it just feels like I'm in a kind of a centralized location where I know people, I know the students, I know the educators, I know the collegiate faculty, and I can get people hooked up, you know, in places that benefit them to be, that benefit from them being there. And so as a facilitator, I think that's probably a skill that I have, but it's also very rewarding.
Beautiful. Brent, hey man, thank you for taking some time out for Neon Jazz today. Good luck as we move forward with the album and hopefully return to some semblance of reality in this world.
Oh, Joe, thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate your interest in the project, and I'm really happy that you enjoyed it.
Thanks for listening and tuning in to another Neon Jazz interview, where we give you a bit of insight into the finest players in Michigan, Indiana, Kansas City, and spots all over the world, giving fans all that jazz. Thanks to Brent for his cool time and energy. If you want to hear more interviews, go to Famous Interviews with Joe Domino in the iTunes Store. Visit NeonJazz at YouTube.com. And for everything Neon Jazz all the time, go to the NeonJazz.blogspot.com. Until next time, enjoy the jazz, my friends.
Neon Jazz.